is Nicole Whitney, News for the Soul, life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained.
Okay, everybody, take a deep breath. We know that we choose to come to this world, and we're chosen to come to this world, and we've come for breath. We breathe in for ourselves and out for spiritual unfoldment. And as we breathe these moments, let's open up our heart and open up our souls, and let the true awareness of News for the Soul make its impact now and forever.
Good afternoon or good evening, depending on wherever you're tuning in from. I'm Nicole Whitney, and you're now tapped into News for the Soul. That's life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained. Big day on the big shoe. For the first time, together on the air on News for the Soul, Dr. Hugh Len from Ho'oponopono, with amazing stories to tell and amazing results to talk about with respect to his work in Ho'oponopono for over a quarter of a century. Along with Dr. Hugh Len on the show, Dr. Joe Vitelli from The Secret, from Spiritual Marketing, the author of that bestseller and many others, who you can find online at MrFire.com. He's here also at the same time. Let's welcome them both on and start the fun. Welcome to News for the Soul, Dr. Hugh Len and Dr. Joe Vitelli. Good. Well, it's good to have both of you on the line today. This is quite a treat, and I get a front row.
It's always a treat to be with Joe.
Well, you guys have been doing a lot of work together, interesting work, and your latest project has been unveiled, events and all kinds of things. So I want to talk about all of that stuff, but I want to get a bit of behind the scenes while we have both of you on the line of how you connected and such. So perhaps, Dr. Joe, you want to go first and say, how did you first find a connection with Dr. Len?
My friend Mark Ryan told me 3 years ago, probably 3 years ago this month, about a therapist who worked at a mental hospital for the criminally insane in Hawaii, who allegedly healed or helped heal all of those patients, and he did it with some unusual Hawaiian method, and the punchline was, he didn't treat them individually. He didn't see them as a patient. And when Mark told me this 3 years ago, I said, Mark, you're a nice guy. I like you, but this sounds like an urban legend. It doesn't sound true. I certainly know about distance healing and different modalities, but being able to help heal people without seeing them professionally just didn't make any sense. So I very wisely dismissed it. And then the year after that, same place, same month, but a year later, Mark asked me, he says, did you ever go looking for that therapist that I told you about the year before? And I said, no, I actually forgot all about it. But since he brought it up to me, I took it as a sign. I got curious, and we both jumped online and did some Googling, did some searching, and we found it very difficult to find anything about this guy. And it bothered me. Now I had a mission. And when I got back to my home in Texas, I started investigating, and I did find him. I found that his name was Dr. E. Haleakala Hu Len. I found an email for him. I wrote to him, and I didn't get enough out of the email, so I asked to talk to him on the phone, and he was very kind, gave me over an hour of his time, answered all of my questions about his years at the mental hospital. And the next thing I know, I was, you know, almost the next weekend, I was meeting him in person and attending my first workshop. So it all began with a story I didn't believe.
I went through the same kind of reaction, too. I found out about Dr. Len on your site, Joe, when you were promoting an audio that you had done with the talk with him. And I thought, no. But it's such an amazing story. So, Dr. Len, when you had first received the call from Dr. Joe, what was your reaction?
Yes. His call were many, many, many calls that I ordinarily would get. And actually, I don't answer telephones because I just don't have the capacity to keep up with all of the inquiries that came up. But I don't know. It was kind of an automatic response. The phone rang, and I was sitting there, and my hand reached for it. So we had a visit.
And the truth is, he doesn't even remember talking to me. He's already confessed that to me, so I was totally not memorable in any way, shape, or form. I asked the same questions everybody else did. But the beauty was, he spent almost an hour with me, and he didn't know who I was. He was very generous with his time and information.
Well, the reason I ask is I've always been trying to understand in this story how this could have been going on for so long, and this information is somewhere, and no one else kind of picked up on it. And that always amazed me. So other people had known, they had talked to you about this process before and the results that you had.
Oh, yeah, I've been doing this 25 years. Mm-hmm. So,
just the nutshell version, anybody listening, you can go to the News for the Soul archives, which are always all free, and hear the previous shows that we've done, both with Dr. Joe Vitale and Dr. Hu Lin. They're all in the archives there, and it explains in much more detail the story that we're about to give the nutshell version of. But in brief, as you've said already, Dr. Joe, these people that weren't even being physically met with by Dr. Lin, all the patients had gotten better.
Well, Dr. Hu Lin can explain that better, but my understanding is, and I'll say this first and then let him correct me, but my understanding is none of the patients did Ho'oponopono. The only person who was doing it when Dr. Hu Lin first arrived was Dr. Hu Lin. And he did it quietly, he did it on his own, and it's a very internal process. It's between him and the divine, and he's basically holding the awareness of the problems he felt within himself as he looked at the therapist, or not the therapist, but the patients there. And as he's feeling whatever he's feeling, he's addressing the divine and saying things like, I'm sorry, please forgive me, thank you, and I love you. And as he quietly did this, as time went on, things slowly began to change. Patients who had to be shackled didn't have to be shackled. Patients who were sedated didn't have to be sedated. Patients who were considered to be there for their entire lives were being released. And all that was happening that anybody knew was change was happening, but they didn't know where to give any credit or blame for it. And I would say it was Dr. Hu Lin quietly doing Ho'oponopono that was causing the change. Now, let's see what he says.
The only thing I would comment on is that I wasn't doing anything on the patient. What I was working on was the data in me that caused me to experience them or perceive them or see them in a way in which my data was saying they're sick, they're violent, and as I worked on the data, my perception of them, whatever the cause of my perception of them, as I worked only on the data in me, not on them, in me, then as the data got erased from me, however the divinity does it, I have no idea, that when I do my cleaning on the Ho'oponopono, it's then in the hand of the divinity. And so divinity really is the being who makes the changes. So the idea in the book that Joe and I put together is that when you do the Ho'oponopono, divinity has the capacity to take the data which one perceives as a problem and transforms the data to nothing. So the data gets zeroed out in me, the data gets zeroed out in the patient, the building, the ground, the document, the everything gets zeroed out, and then because we're back to pure state called clarity, then everybody gets whatever they need from the divinity, not from me. And so people like Joe is saying, people who were shackled no longer get shackled. The use of seclusion rooms simply faded away. Nobody decided and had it as a goal that we should shut down the seclusion room. It just happened because the data was being released.
And you weren't trying to fix them. You were working on whatever it was in you. You were, for lack of better words, fixing whatever it was in you.
Yeah, and one needs to be really clear about this, because as I'm watching the internet, one needs to be really precise. And that is, only the divinity can transform the data, playing suffering, playing blame, plain thinking, coping, managing, making people wrong. Only divinity can take that data in me and erase it. So when people ask me if I'm a shaman, I said, no, I'm a garbage collector, just simply recycling the garbage. Am I a healer? No, only divinity can do that. And so the idea is that everything is data. So whether our experiences are up or down, it's data in the subconscious replaying, and the mind just follows the data. And so by erasing the data, by petitioning divinity to erase the data, it gets erased in you, since we're all interconnected. It gets erased in all the beings throughout the cosmos.
You know, and what always comes up for me when I hear you talk about this is, collectively, like the fact that you two are have connected and you're doing work on a much broader scale now. Now people know about your work and this amazing story on a much bigger scale, and you know, even after today, and getting out there more on more radio stations and more media. Does that make a difference on the effectiveness? I mean, what can we do with this, and does it make a difference when more of us do it together?
Joe?
Oh, I was waiting to hear your answer to that.
I'm waiting to hear yours, Joe, so I can bounce off of yours, Joe.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what Dr. Hulen told me in the very first workshop that I did with him. And I met him there and loved him and wanted to do more with him and said I wanted to write a book about this. And he was a little open, but he was also had his opinion that nobody else needs to do this work. Only you do. If you do it, then you can have the same kind of experience that Dr. Hulen did at that hospital. He does the work, not trying to change anybody. He's just taking out his own garbage. And as he's taking out his own garbage and allowing the divine to clean up, everything around him in that hospital changes. And so from the perspective that he was telling me at that weekend is, Joe, you just do it. Or even better than that, he just do it. And as he does it, the world changes. Now, I didn't quite settle for that because I was driven by wanting to share the things I'm in love with. And so I really wanted to write a book feeling that if I could write a book about Zero Limits, about this healing technique, and I can get him to help me with it so I know I'm accurate and I'm factual in what I'm explaining, and more people knew of this, then I could just imagine that it would speed up divinity's ability to clean the universe. And so that's my take on it, and I can't wait to hear what he has to say about this.
A friend of mine, when I did a class recently in Raleigh, North Carolina, a friend of mine gave me a caricature of a cartoon that was done in some magazine or newspaper. And the cartoon showed two things. It showed a guy holding a book in a bookstore, standing under the sign saying, self-help. And then in the distance, in the same cartoon, there's a bunch of people sitting around the table, and over them is a sign that says, fixing other people. And so I'm not here to fix other people. They're perfect already. Perfect. I mean, they're created in the exact likeness of the divine. They're perfect. What is imperfect is the data in me that says they're not divine. So, for example, the word aloha, when you say aloha to someone, really in the deepest part of your being, which is zero, you're saying to them, I'm in the presence of God. And so to think that you're going to fix God is utterly ridiculous. It's just ridiculous. I'm looking at something, and I don't see that person, I don't experience that person as godly. Then, boy, I should be looking at myself and saying, what is going on in me that I'm experiencing anger, resentment, annoyance, irritation, blame? And, boy, I should get to it because that being in front of me is God, a God being, and I shouldn't be messing around with him.
Now, I think this is the point where people get stuck.
Only if we say so. So as you're talking, I'm doing my cleaning. Because that's the perception that says, that if we're stuck, we think other people are stuck.
Okay.
But nobody's stuck. Everybody's perfect. What happens is our perception is people are stuck. That's our problem. And as long as we don't get to that, everybody's going to be stuck because we're stuck. Once one person is stuck, everybody's stuck. So we are in fact presenting other people from experiencing who they are. God.
Okay, well, this is based on the questions that we get a lot from our previous interviews, well, with both of you on the subject, so you clean me, I'll ask.
I'm not cleaning you. I think that's very important. I'm cleaning the data, my perception.
Okay.
That's where people have go screwy. I'm watching the so-called zero limit idea get worked on contorted, so I get to clean that. Other people are saying, oh, I get to clean that. I'm only here to clean. I don't care if anybody else cleans. But I think Joe is correct. Joe has this ability to share this information. But ultimately, I'm responsible for whatever's going on in me, and I'm willing to do that. I'm willing to clean it.
Okay.
Beautiful.
The question that comes up a lot that I have and other people have is, when you're sitting there, you know, I can be on a veranda sipping a Mai Tai or something, you know, diet pop, and have somebody walk by who's angry and having their own experience, and I'm looking at that person and I can see their God, their divinity, but they're, you know, God having a bad day. So how do I get into full responsibility mode with seemingly external things?
Cool.
I will answer that first, I guess.
Go ahead, Joe.
Well, what I look at is that I am not looking at what the other person is going through or what the other person is looking like they're experiencing. I'm looking at what I'm experiencing. So if I look at another person and I perceive that they are angry, that's what I'm cleaning within myself. Because it's not the other person. I don't even know what's really going on in the other person. I might think they're angry, and they might not even be angry. It might just be my misperception, my misunderstanding. And so whatever I see out there and how I feel about out there is what I take to the divine. And I'll say something equivalent to, I'm sorry for this perception I have. I have no idea where it came from. It could have come from the past. It could have come from past lives. It could have come from when I was sea salt. I don't know. But please forgive me for it. Thank you for listening. Thank you for resolving this. Thank you for cleaning this in me. And then I always go back to what I think are the three most powerful words, and that's, I love you. And if I can say I love you to the divine and truly feel love as I say it to the divine, I can move into tears of rapture. And then I begin to feel like there's nothing wrong with the other person at all. And again, I don't even know what's going on in the other person. When I say I sense they're angry, that's my perception that I clean on. I don't clean on the other person at all. I clean on me. And more often than not, though I don't keep tabs on this, I find out that the other person seems to change. But really, they didn't even change. It was me who changed. Everything is done from the inside of me, and it's due to my relationship to what I call the divine, which is a term I got from Dr. Hulen, which seems politically correct to me, and I like using it. So it's my relationship to the divine.
And that makes sense. That was a good explanation. So you're not just relying on your perceptions, you're cleaning them.
Well, what I learned from Dr. Hulen and what we write about in the book Zero Limits is that our perceptions don't have a clue what's going on. That's based on our conscious mind. And our conscious mind is so insignificant in its power to assess any situation, let alone another person, or what's going on in another person's mind or body or their feeling or their spirit. So for me to trust my conscious mind or my conscious view of things is to totally be misled down a dark alley. It doesn't have a clue what's going on. And that's why I basically have to turn it over to the divine, which has access to everything. I don't. I only have this little peephole into the universe through my conscious mind, and everything else that's going on, I'm not consciously aware of.
Okay. Do you want to add anything to that, Dr. Len?
No, I have nothing to add to that. He said it. I didn't hear anything come up, so I'm grateful to him.
Perfect. And the book, of course, if we haven't mentioned it yet, Zero Limits, is the... When did that come out?
Just June 29th, I think. It's only been out a short time. And I want to mention a couple things about this, because this is fairly miraculous. And it's my term, but I believe it. That book became a number one bestseller at Amazon. It actually became a top 100 bestseller at Amazon three times. And the first time, the book didn't even exist yet. Last December, I had sent an excerpt from the book as a short little 500-word article, and I sent it out on the internet to my list, and those people read it, they liked it, it touched something within them, they sent it out to other people. We estimate about 5 million people saw that article, and many of those people drove over on their own without anybody requesting them to do that or guiding them to do it. And they went to Amazon, and they pre-ordered the book. Now, all that was listed on Amazon was the title and the author's name. There was no cover. in effect, there was no book because I was still finishing it in December. As I was turning it in to the publisher, that book was becoming a bestseller before it was even released. Now, I believe that because Dr. Hulett and I have been cleaning on this book and this book project ever since we decided or agreed that we were going to do it, I believe we've been cleaning the way for it to come out into the world to such an extent that I didn't have to do any marketing to make it a bestseller. All I had to do was just release a little bit of information, and the universe itself, the divine itself, whatever you want to call it, is making it or allowing it to happen without too much effort on our parts. So I think this is evidence, or at least another example, of how cleaning makes a difference in your life. I wasn't cleaning to make the book a bestseller. I was going to make the book a bestseller later when it was actually out, but as I was cleaning, it became a bestseller before I even tried to make it one.
Which is a huge statement from you, being the author of Spiritual Marketing and all the hypnotic marketing series and mega marketing, basically.
I have many books, but I've never had one become a bestseller before it was finished.
Well, and normally you have a marketing process that you go through to achieve bestsellerdom.
That's exactly right, yeah.
Very interesting indeed. Well, I'll tell you what I did. Before having both of you on the show today, I sent out a notice and offered to have over 31,000 News for the Soul listeners that are subscribed to our e-news ask questions so they can absorb more about Ho'oponopono and making it a practical application for their own lives. And I was overwhelmed.
Yeah, I bet.
I was absolutely overwhelmed with the responses. So what I've been trying to do is kind of assimilate the temperature of a lot of what was coming in the questions so far, but I'm hoping that we can get to a couple of them specifically. Now, the event, I wanted to ask you about that first. You have an event together that's coming up?
Yes. Dr. Hulett and I are going to be doing a Zero Limits Weekend retreat in Maui, Hawaii on December 1st and 2nd. Dr. Hulett and I will take turns talking, and there's no structure to this. It's much like the way we live our lives today. It's led by the divine, and we just keep cleaning as we go through it. I would guess that Dr. Hulett would do most of the talking, and I'm his happy sidekick or straight man, but you never know. It could go any way that any way could go. And instead of trying to sell the seminar, which I don't do, I just tell people, if you're interested in Ho'oponopono, the story of Dr. Hulett, or you've read the book, or even if you haven't read the book, if you feel called to go to the Zero Limits Weekend Retreat, then send an email to zero@aweber.com. That's zero@aweber.com. And you'll get information on it. Then you can decide if you want to meet us in Maui or not. I'm looking forward to it because I just want to hang out with Dr. Hulett and hear his stories. And whatever else happens will just be whatever else happens.
I think that's probably correct in a sense that I'm just hanging around Joe and doing the cleaning. I'm hanging around whatever it comes up I need to clean with. I'm going to do the cleaning. And so the event manifests, and if I'm doing my cleaning, hopefully the divinity will do the seminar and I get to go. Wow. We will see.
The reason I wanted to ask you about the event before we started with the questions, one of them had sent in, most people were asking about the practical application of Ho'oponopono in, you know, specific issues or whatever in their life. But one person had written in a different question. At first, I wasn't going to include it on the short list here, but then I thought, well, it's interesting. I'd like to see what the Ho'oponopono response would be. This comes from Vicky in Philadelphia, and she is absolutely impassioned to go to a seminar with both of you, and she was asking about, you know, she has this burning desire, but should she go, because she will be using her bill paying money to attend. So from a Ho'oponopono perspective, do each of you want to give a response to Vicky?
Well, my earth level response is I don't believe people should be spending their bill money to go to a seminar that's not going to happen for several months out. If she wants to go, I would say that you might want to clean on whatever comes up when she thinks of money, because I'm guessing she probably has a scarcity mindset, and I'm cleaning on this as I'm saying it. So I'm trying to explain that when something like this comes up, I regard it as a shared experience. Like, I may have a leftover program within me that's concerned about money and scarcity and paying the bills. So I'm holding that awareness as I'm cleaning. I'm saying, I love you, I'm sorry, please forgive me, thank you, as I'm going through this process of answering the question. And then I'm answering the question as a friend, I think, would answer it, saying, you know, don't spend the money you have to go and use your, to pay your bills with. Maybe focus on having the money come from another source. You can even ask the divine, if it's right for me, let it be. But no addiction to it, no forcing it. And ultimately, I don't know if that person needs to be at the seminar. I mean, you might want to be there, but you don't really need to be there. I don't even know what's going to happen. I'll shut up and let Dr. Hulan say something.
The only thing I would do is clean for me, because it's very important to know that we ourselves don't make decisions. So we want to be clear that when something moves us, that is in fact an inspiration from the divine, not some data playing from the past. So for me, I would just continue to do my cleaning, and if I do my cleaning, then whenever that time comes, whether she shows up or not, I'll look over the horizon. I will do my cleaning and see who comes over the horizon. So I'm not here to tell people what they or they should not be doing. I'm here to be 100% responsible, and I'm doing my cleaning.
Well, I wanted to ask that one, because, you know, it's interesting how we can be spiritual as all heck, and then the money thing comes in. And,
Well, let me pause there for a second. You know, when you say the money thing comes in, when anybody says anything comes in, you know, the frustration comes in, the anger comes in, the sex comes in, the romance comes in, the money comes in, that's an opportunity for cleaning. And what I do is I take that feeling, instead of just kind of intellectualizing it or trying to be cognitive about it and break it down or understand it, which are all things I've done in the past, instead I take whatever just showed up. In this case, okay, the money thing shows up. I take that, and in the background in my mind, and I'm articulating this so everybody understands what I'm doing silently, and this is what I'm doing within myself. I hold the feeling of, okay, there's the money thing, and then I say, okay, universe, the divine, I'm sorry for this program. I don't know where it came from. I don't have a clue. Please forgive me, because I have some sort of role in this. Here it is in my awareness, so I've got some sort of involvement in the program. Thank you for listening. Thank you for removing this. Thank you for cleaning this. Thank you for listening to me. Thank you for my life. And then I love you, always going back to that rapport state, which can put me in a state of rapture when I really feel like, oh, God, it is such a privilege to be alive, and I can communicate with the divine and be one with the divine. And where I want to be is zero limits, where there aren't any of these programs and where the money thing doesn't surface. But when the money thing surfaces or anything surfaces, that's my opportunity to clean.
So Joe is making a very important point, and it's really a secret, if you want to use the word secret, and that Joe and I notice that every time there's a problem, we're always there.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really important to get that one, because the problem always originates within the self and never outside. So what does that mean? Well, it means then that the data is playing. Something's going on called data or information in the subconscious that's playing, because that's what you're experiencing. You're not experiencing that person not having any money. You're experiencing your reaction to that person. And if one would be willing to clean up one stuff, I think Joe made the point, which is really an interesting one, and that person may decide or comes up, the inspiration is, why are you going to waste your time there? You can go elsewhere. You can go on vacation into the Poconos or something. So what we're hoping to do is, as Joe and I clean, only the people who are moved to come will come, as opposed to if we don't do our cleaning, folks are going to come, you go, uh-oh. Boy, that's what's going to happen. People will show up that really don't need to be there because we weren't 100% responsible for cleaning up our stuff. Yeah.
Well, I think that explanation and what you just walked us through as well, Dr. Joe, was perfect, because that gives you, you know, a real clear idea of what to do in those moments as those things come up. So thank you for that.
Well, you know, an answer, any question you asked after this has already been answered for anybody listening, and also for myself. Whatever the next question is, it's going to have a fill-in-the-blank kind of program in it. That's what we've been calling in the book programs, beliefs, limitations, what Dr. Hulan refers to as data. That's in the way of experiencing the divine and experiencing the inspiration in the moment that could lead to wealth, success, happiness. I don't know what that could be. It could could be anything because it's coming from the divine. But any question that comes up is coming up from our conscious, doesn't know everything awareness, and it's going to be the same answer. Clean on it. Whatever that question was, clean on it.
Well, let's try this question from Sylvia. Okay. When you were saying the phrase, I'm sorry, please forgive me, I love you, thank you, and God bless, do you need to know what you were saying it for, or can you just say it over and over again whenever you think of it and still have it doing what it needs to do to clean anything and everything?
I'll definitely take that one. I have learned to say it nonstop, and there are times when I stop, but for the most part, I'm consciously doing it, so it's almost the new self-talk in the back of my mind. So most people know what self-talk is, but if they don't, there's wonderful books on it. There's one called What to Say When You Talk to Yourself by Helmstetter, and he pointed out that most of us have this very critical self-talk that's going on. We're telling ourselves that we're stupid or fat or unlovable or any number of things, and I've learned that you can change the self-talk with some awareness, and what I'm hoping to do with the book Zero Limits is help people be aware that you can start saying, I love you, I'm sorry, please forgive me, and thank you as a type of self-talk. You're saying it to the big self, not the little self. The little self is you and your ego. The big self is the divine. So to the best of my ability, I am repeating it to the divine nonstop. Even right now as I'm talking, it's going on in the back of my head. But when something shows up in my life, the money thing, the frustration thing, the anger thing, the loneliness thing, I mean, whatever it happens to be, I will hold the awareness of that problem, problems in parentheses, because it's, you know, it's just a perception. I'll hold the awareness of that problem slash perception, and I will address the divine while holding that feeling and saying, I'm sorry, please forgive me, thank you, I love you, thinking about, feeling about that particular problem. So maybe I do it with a little bit more focus and a little bit more intensity. But the first part of the answer is I'm doing it all the time. The second part is if something surfaces, I aim at it and do it on that.
Dr. Hulan, would you like to add anything to that?
No, what he said is pretty clear.
So that's amazing that you've gotten to the point where you've immersed in this to where that's your self-talk most of the time.
Well, it started to kick in the very first weekend that I did the workshop, my very first workshop with Dr. Hulin. And I went there ready because I had already talked to him. I was already fascinated. I was already deeply curious. And I don't know, I kind of picked up on his vibe in the room, you know, like we all give off a kind of tuning fork energy signal. And I kind of merged with it. And I pretty quickly, the very first day, started to absorb that energy, and I started saying, I love you, I'm sorry, please forgive me, thank you, consciously. I know that there were other people in the room who did not take that on as quickly. I didn't know then that I was supposed to clean on that, but, you know, it was my first weekend. But that's where it all began for me with a new type of self-talk.
Mm. So why don't you tell her about that experience about your plane being late?
Yes, I believe I know which one you're talking about. I did a workshop, a different workshop with Dr. Hulin, and I absolutely loved it because I've done several with him. So I had gone to California. I did another workshop with him. He took me to the airport early in the morning. I was all set to catch my flight. In fact, I was amazed that there was no traffic. There was no long line at the airport. I thought, boy, this cleaning is really working because I'm getting right through everything. And I get over to where my plane is, and I'm there for the next 8 hours. My plane had a problem with it. They had to get another plane. They had problems with that plane. And I looked around, and there were people that were royally upset. There were some people that just were screaming. There were some people red-faced, angry. There were people giving everybody else a hard time. A few people just kind of went with the flow, and they're reading books, and they're doing whatever, but they're making their phone calls. I sat there, and I was totally okay with it, but I kind of talked to the divine, saying, okay, you got me here, sitting here. What do you want me to do? And I felt the inspiration to go by paper, which is, I didn't have it with me, I didn't have a laptop with me, which is kind of odd for me as an author, but I was cool with it. I went and bought a yellow tab of paper, came back to my seat, and I started writing, and I didn't even know what I was going to write, but I ended up writing what became a large part of the now existing book, Zero Limits. Had I had caught my plane and just taken off, I never would have written all of that. I never would have jump-started the book, and that section that I wrote while I was, in quotes, stuck at the airport is one of my favorite sections in the entire book in Zero Limit. And many people have commented on it saying there's a spirit of fun to it, there's a sense of humor to it, there's a lot of clarity to it. And I thought to myself, boy, if they only knew I wrote that at an airport because the plane was 8 hours late.
Wow. That's amazing how that happens, though, isn't it? It's like we can have our plans, and then divinity or whatever you want to call it has a bigger picture of what's going on.
Yeah. Well, I think the secrets, if we can say secrets here, that constant cleaning. So in other words, if I did get irritated, like, you know, where the hell's my plane? How come this airport doesn't have it? Or what's bad with this airline? Well, that's my own frustration. I would take that frustration and clean on it. Like, I'm sorry for this program. I don't know where the frustrations come from. Please forgive me. Thank you for releasing it. I love you. Until I get back to the place of just being in the moment. Just being in the moment. When I can be in the moment with awareness, with love, with clarity, just keep cleaning. In that moment, I'm now open. I'm now at a zero limit capability where inspiration could come knocking at my door and say, hey, Joe, you got nothing to do right now. Why don't you go get a pad of paper and we'll do some writing through you. That's what happens if you just keep cleaning. And I think that's the point of what I think is the point of Zero Limits anyway, and who knows why I really wrote the book. I mean, since I don't consciously have a clue what's going on, who knows why I really wrote the book. But what I imagine Zero Limits is all about is to remind people to be in this moment with as much clarity and gratitude as love, cleaning out anything that's showing up that's in the way of that, because when you're in the moment, the inspiration could come. That could be a best-selling book, or it can be something else that's unique to you. But it's inspiration. You don't control it. You allow it. You go with it.
Great story. Actually, I'm just going to pull up the next question here. We have a good one from Jory. If negative memories come up inside of you concerning you and another person or any other given situation, if you are taking 100% responsibility and you start the cleaning, for how long do you do it?
Well, in my view of things is you're never going to stop doing it. I mean, you may do it.
I love that. The idea is exactly what Joe is saying. If you're going to fulfill whatever you came in to do, whatever that means moment to moment, you cannot not be cleaning. The whole point of it is you're only here in this lifetime because you have garbage to clean up. And if you don't clean up that garbage, you can't fulfill the divine purpose for which you were created. And so for me, my whole life is about nonstop cleansing. And so I do everything. From the moment I wake up, I'm drinking my water. I'm just doing the cleaning. I'm not doing anything else because I don't know what's going on. And whatever's going on that shows up as a problem, that problem is data, information in me. So I'm willing to take good care of myself by working on letting go of the stuff in me that I experience as problem. People themselves are not the problem. It's the information that we carry in our souls that replay problems. And so I'm willing to work on that nonstop. Just exactly what Joe was saying.
Start cleaning and do not stop. You mentioned water. Do you physically cleanse as well?
What happens is we have a process called blue solar water. It is water that you can make for yourself. And as you drink this blue solar water, it is doing this cleaning. So I drink up to 2 gallons of water because it's a cleaning process. I'm always drinking. I add it to, I make my coffee out of it, juice out of it. But as long as I'm drinking this solar water, it's doing the Ho'oponopono nonstop. Question, what is it cleaning? I have no idea. That area is up to divinity. I'm just drinking it because I'm saying to divinity, whatever's going on in me that is not me and not you, I would like to petition that it be released to zero. And so I drink up to 2 gallons. I would drink more, but I can't handle more, yeah.
Now, that's the water that's been in sitting in the sun in the blue containers, right?
Yes.
And are you doing that as well, Dr. Joe?
Yes, I do it myself. And it's so easy. I want to make sure people understand. All you're doing is getting a blue container, fill it, and I set that blue bottle water in the sun. And after it's set in the sun, I usually leave it out for a few hours, but I now have blue solar water. And I drink that. I once asked Dr. Hulen where he got his blue solar water bottles, and he said, well, sometimes wine bottles are blue. So the whole point is, wherever you get your bottles, just be sure that they're blue bottles, fill them with water, set them in the sun, and after they've done it, it's a little bit like making sun tea. Many people have done that. We're just saying put it in a blue bottle, put it in the sun. A few hours later, you have your blue solar water. Drink it up.
The bottle has to be glass. It cannot be plastic.
Oh, I didn't know that part. Oh, okay,
yeah,
it has to be glass.
But I'm saying, just so if the readers are going to use it, we want to make sure that the bottle is glass, and so like Joe is saying, you put it on the sun for however however long, I usually have it out there maybe a half an hour or an hour, and then I start drinking it. So if you were to come to a place when I lived on Hawaii, on the Big Island, you would see tons of bottles out there, just getting recycled so the folks in our house would be able to drink the water, and then drinking it during the Ho'oponopono, which means simply asking the divinity, whatever is going on in me, I would like to make amends for. And so the water is making, petitioning divinity, and then divinity will do whatever.
I just want to ask a little more before we go on to the next question. Why blue? Why sun? And do you use tap water in the bottles?
Yeah, you use tap water. You're asking questions that I'm cleaning on, because only divinity knows that. One day I was walking, this was years and years ago, walking, doing my cleaning, and then the inspiration, as Joe talks about, the inspiration came through to use in the class this cleansing process called blue solar water. Now, why blue? It used to be green. Why tap water? I have no idea. I remember one day I was doing my cleaning with a client that I had. I heard the inspiration came in after I did my cleaning, and now I was what the Hawaiians call maha'oi. I was nosy. So I said to the divinity, can you tell me why that? And the divinity said, it's none of your business. Just do it. So why all of this? I don't know why.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to the next question. The last one came from Holland, by the way, with joy. The next one is from Michael in Maryland. Dr. Lynn, when you say there is no out there, are you saying that we never get out of our sense perceptions in this life, or that what we are perceiving with our senses is not really real at all?
You're not perceiving with your sense. What you're perceiving with is the data. It's like if you read Faust or you read Shakespeare. One of the beautiful epigrams in Faust by Goethe is that you always see from your heart, so you never see, you can't get outside of yourself, and so you're always perceiving, feeling, thinking from yourself. Well, what is that? Well, you yourself don't think. It's the data that thinks. If you're looking for the bottom line secret of creation, you have to come to the realization is that the mind itself does not run the data. It is the data that runs the mind. You can't get outside of your mind. And so your perceptions are always information running in your subconscious. And unless you release that, you petition the divinity to erase it, you're stuck with it. And so the idea is it's not senses, it's data in the subconscious. So the body is only an effect of what is going on in the subconscious. You zero out everything, then the body becomes angelic. It moves to another realm of being.
Okay, so it's yet another layer of not relying on those perceptions.
Bottom line is that the cause of your perception and your experiences are really memories and data in your subconscious. When that plays, that's what you experience. You don't experience the other person. If you were at zero, a pure state of mind, you would see that you would experience the other person is gone. So this idea of being willing to know that that person in front of you is really a God-created being. And if you see that person otherwise, you should look at yourself. Ask yourself, what's going on in me that I perceive you or Joe or anybody as not being in the image of God?
Okay. Let's see if we can get one or two more in really quickly.
Do you have any questions that were nasty? I'm interested in nasty.
I love it.
Yeah. So if you have any questions that were nasty, I would like to handle one of those. Whatever that is.
Okay. All right. Let's see how we can do for nasty. Give me a minute while
I love nasty through. Responses, because the nastiness tells me I should look at myself, you know?
Well, while she's looking at that, I'll bring up one that showed up. There are several reviews of our book on Amazon. Some of them are raving reviews because they give it 5 stars and they say this book's going to elevate humanity and raise consciousness and blah, blah, blah. And some of them are 1 or no stars, also raving about the book, but raving mad about the book.
And so I love that.
And, we've got people in there that say it's nothing but a sales tool trying to get people to sign up for workshops, but I plug every product I've ever written in my life, which would take 43 pages to do. And one person even suggested that you weren't even real, that I made you up as a literary device to make a point. And so what is your take on, we've got 2 sides here that are dramatically opposite, a whole cheering system for the book, against the book.
Are you asking me, Joe?
Yeah, I'm asking you.
Oh, well, again, I'm going to go back to our forefathers and our foremothers, Emily Dickinson, Whitman, Faust, Goethe. The bottom line is that behind every cloud there is a silver lining. So if we're willing to cling to that because it's only our stuff, it's like working with schizophrenic people. One day I was working with somebody. They said to me, "Wow, you work in the psychiatric unit." I said, "No, I work in a psychiatric world." I mean, it's crazy. I mean, for example, I just recently got back from Philadelphia. And in the Philadelphia Inquiry, 221 people have already been murdered. I mean, so the question always comes, okay, so I get to clean that. So I like nasty stuff because it tells me that if I'm willing to let that go, behind that there's a silver lining. I call it inspiration.
That's beautiful. Sorry. That's a beautiful reminder.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, it's not people being nasty. It's data being nasty. That's why I never take it personally. I mean, people are not talking. It's the data that's talking. And so I'm willing to go, "Oh, I didn't realize I had that garbage. Thank God I get to work with that." And behind that, there's going to be a silver lining called inspiration. So I'm willing to take on any kind of nastiness.
Okay, well, I have a few in here, but I haven't been able to find the one I was looking for. But I've got one that I can't possibly read all of because I'm telling you, it goes on forever.
that's wonderful.
I'm going to scroll down to the last paragraph. The subtitle is, "There's a Sucker Burn Every Moment." And I'll just read through this last paragraph. "Since I first heard Dr. Lin speak about Ho'oponopono, a news for the soul, in his interviews with Nicole Whitney, I had several questions. Dr. Lin said that in some research experiment had been done showing a relationship between the practice of Ho'oponopono and the lowering of people's blood pressure. He said that
I have that information, and it's going to be published on in a national journal.
Okay.
I have it. That person is interested.
Good. He probably will be writing you. His name is Gary. Okay. He said...
I've heard it before. I've had 42,000 messages from him.
Well, he goes on to say that he said that if we write the foundation of I, we would have those results emailed to us. And I wrote the foundation of I and requested the results of the experiment and got a request form mailed to me. I filled out the request form and sent it back. And guess what? I have not received it.
If he's willing, we're going to tell him that we're going to give him, he can buy it from a journal.
He goes on to, let's see, I guess what he was looking to do was validate it, and so he says, "I went back to reread the article."
No. It's not a he, it's the data coming up, and the data is giving us one more chance to let it go. And if we're willing to let it go, just kind of having to, like Joe talking about, talking yourself, it's not Gary, it's the data. And so I'm willing to clean up the data, no matter how ferocious it is. And it's just data playing. It's not anything else. And I'm willing. That's why I like nastiness, you know?
So you clean. As soon as you get an email like this, or 42,000 of them, you just clean it.
Of course. In fact, my friend Joe will remember that I said to him in November.
I know exactly what you're going to say.
Yeah, and so I said, "Hello." And so this is what's coming up, which is great. But what I didn't tell Joe, and I withheld from him, was the fact behind all of that is the silver lining. And if we don't get to the poop that hits the fan, we won't get the rewards, which are the gems behind our willingness to let go. And so divinity can inspire us. Yeah.
So you look forward to the poop coming up?
Not particularly. but what I do is I'm always working on the poop. So if I show up at the place, if poo's going to show up, it won't show up with such velocity. So, for example, one of the things that Joe and I will do, I've asked Joe to do, is the class in Maui, I've asked Joe, and he's already sent me the list of, so far, the people who have signed up for the class. So now I have their names, and I'm saying to divinity, I would like to make amends for whatever is going on in me and my family, relatives, and ancestors with each one of these students and their family, relatives, and ancestors, the land where the class is going to take place, the buildings that's going to take place, the hotel, all the documents, letters. I would like to make amends. So now Joe sends me that info. I can do the cleaning beforehand, so if there's anything that's going to come up, it won't come up with such ferocity. But if I don't clean, I just show up without being 100% responsible, without coming in peace, I'm going to get what I deserve. That is, I'm going to get mowed down. And I deserve it because I wasn't 100% responsible. This is why it's so important to clean. If you're sitting out in your lanai or out in your balcony and somebody comes by crazy, you deserve that because you should have been cleaning and maybe it would have come up, but not with such ferocity.
So that's
the whole idea of Ho'oponopono, is to delete the data so that it won't hit you on your blind side. Yeah.
So you're deleting it before it hits you.
Yeah. I worked on this program. You got thousands and thousands of people listening. I have a responsibility to come on this program in peace. And so I have a responsibility. So I did my cleaning beforehand, days and days beforehand, with you, with Joe, the television station, the people are listening, all the electrical devices. I'm doing my cleaning because I want to make sure I come in peace. And that's my only purpose for living, is to be at peace with myself. And as long as I'm at peace, everybody will be fine. But if I'm not at peace, boy, will it show up in my face, you know.
Okay, well, I appreciate you so much for being here, both of you. Dr. Hu Lan, who you can find online at ho'oponopono.org. And, of course, Joe Vitale from The Secret and Spiritual Marketing and all of that, and much more, MrFire.com. Thank you, both of you, for doing this work.
Thank you.
And being here today.
Thank you, Joe.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for putting this on, too, Nicole. And if people want to read an excerpt from the book, they can just go to zerolimits.info. www.zerolimits.info, and they'll see a picture of Dr. Hu Lan and me. They read an excerpt of the book, and you'll even hear an audio, a very short one, of Dr. Hu Lan giving a definition of Ho'oponopono. That's on zerolimits.info.
So, Nicole, I would like to thank you and your listeners. Yeah. So you have a nice day.
Thank you. You too, Dr. Lan, and thanks both of you again for being here today.
Godspeed, all our listeners. Talk later.